Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 28th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, Kingston Nature News. Our feature story will be an advocacy-based motion supported unanimously by City Council, urging the provincial and federal governments to take steps towards a national marine conservation area for Lake Ontario. Then we'll dive into some reminders and updates for the Kingston Climate Summit next week, some upcoming opportunities to enjoy the outdoors, and precautions for this summer related to extreme heat and the impacts of climate change. We'll also run through your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events and concerts calendars. Without further delay, let's dive in. Council unanimously passed an advocacy-based motion at their last meeting, requesting the federal and provincial governments take steps towards establishing a National Marine Conservation Area, or NMCA, in Lake Ontario. NMCA is a federal designation managed by Parks Canada. The designation creates smaller zones of higher protection, aimed at protecting ecologically significant freshwater and marine ecosystems, while still allowing people to use and enjoy them sustainably. They can include lakebed, water column, islands, wetlands, and coastal lands, while restricting activities like undersea mining, offshore oil and gas development, and dumping that could damage aquatic ecosystems. There are currently 5 national marine conservation areas in Canada, and Parks Canada has a goal of establishing one in each of the Great Lakes. Right now, Lake Ontario is in the site identification phase. While no formal process has been launched, Nature Canada says there's been growing interest from government officials in exploring a Lake Ontario NMCA. The motion passed by council, brought forward by Councillor Lisa Osanek, asks senior levels of government to move to the next stage of the process by undertaking a comprehensive feasibility study. That study would evaluate the environmental, economic, cultural, and social impacts of potentially establishing an NMCA in Lake Ontario. Hannah Dean, a representative with Nature Canada, came before council to outline what such a designation would mean for Kingston and the eastern Lake Ontario region. Dean spoke to what's at stake, pointing to environmental pressures facing the lake and importance of long-term protection efforts.
The Great Lakes are a vital economic, natural, and cultural resource, holding 84% of North America's freshwater supply and supplying drinking water for millions of people. The eastern basin of Lake Ontario in particular is rich in biodiversity and contains critical habitat for globally rare plants and endangered animals. A National Marine Conservation Area, or NMCA, in this region would help protect rare bird species like the piping plover, who is threatened with habitat loss, and many other migratory bird species who rely on the lake as a stopover point in their journeys. Why do we need to protect the lake? Well, there are several threats to the health of Lake Ontario. One you may be familiar with is the increase in toxic algae blooms, which can be dangerous to animals and cause beaches to close. An NMCA would bring federal funding to the region to address invasive species and invest in habitat protection and restoration. This would benefit fish populations, species at risk, and the people who live nearby. Many of you will know just how far the Great Lakes have come in their restoration, despite the many challenges that they face. Most Ontarians live around the lake. This is a system under immense pressure. An NMCA would ensure that the lake is conserved for the long term through federal investments.
According to Dean, the tentative area under consideration stretches roughly from Brighton to Kingston and includes areas in and around Prince Edward County. Nature Canada has been advocating for a Lake Ontario NMCA for several years and has already gathered significant support. Dean told council the organization plans to continue outreach efforts with municipalities along the lakeshore moving forward.
We've talked to First Nations, local community groups, historians, scuba divers. We have gathered signatures from over 50 organizations across the region in a joint letter that was sent to the province, asking them to work with Ottawa on the project. Individual citizens have also weighed in. We've had over 20,000 letters of support sent to the federal and provincial ministers calling for action. We did some polling that said that 84% said the Northern Shore is critically important for supporting wildlife and the environment, and 2 out of 3 respondents expressed support for an establishment of NMCA right here. And we're talking to city councils like you. We're asking for you to help to endorse the NMCA to protect the local community, biodiversity, economic development, tourism, and cultural heritage for generations to come.
Councillor Osanek stressed the broader significance of the motion before council voted, saying Kingston has an opportunity to take the lead.
With this motion, we are telling the province to please do a feasibility study with Parks Canada to have that, the National Marine Conservation Area in this region. So we heard that among the entire shoreline of Lake Ontario, Eastern Ontario is the most pristine. Brighton has already shown their support. I'm hoping that Kingston will show leadership tonight so that then Prince Edward County and Belleville can follow along and the province, you know, starts this feasibility study.
Councillor Vincent Shinani also spoke in support of the motion, highlighting the potential benefits for Kingston and the surrounding region.
I think that this is going to be a lot of benefit for Kingston and the area if this actually goes through. I think there'll be a lot of benefits to our community while actually doing a lot of good. So I hope that you all support this, and because I think this is like a tremendously like fantastic idea.
With that, council voted unanimously in support of asking the federal and provincial governments to begin formally studying the creation of a National Marine Conservation Area in Lake Ontario. For many local environmental advocates, the vote marks an important early step in a potential major conservation initiative in the Kingston region. The Kingston Climate Summit is returning for its second run next week on June 3rd and 4th. Presented by Sustainable Kingston, ICLEI Canada, and the city, last year's event brought together community members for a day of panels, workshops, and conversations focused on local climate solutions. Building on the momentum of a successful inaugural year, the summit has expanded to include 2 full days of programming at St. Lawrence College. With the event quickly approaching, we're going to jump back to an interview with Julia Stroud, Executive Director of Sustainable Kingston, who sat down with CFRC last month to share more about this year's summit and the climate challenges facing Kingston.
Well, to start us off, the summit is expanding to 2 days in only its second year. I was wondering if you could speak to what came out of that first event that made you go, we've got something here that we need to build on.
Yeah, so we had a fabulous time last year. And I will add that actually it was just a week before I started in this role, but I was able to attend as a community member. And it was just this fascinating mix of people coming together who are working in the field as well as interested community members. And it was a mix of speakers and workshops and tours. And so we've been able to add an extra half day. So that will expand the speaker section. But we're also going to have the tours again. Last year, the tours were focused on getting active with transportation, food farming and forests, and climate action across Kingston. So we're still working on the themes for this year, but they were a lot of fun last year. And so I know a few people have already said that they're really excited that it'll be offered again.
Awesome. And you mentioned there's going to be some more room for speakers this year. I was wondering if you could expand upon what this expansion makes room for in terms of both the programming and the overall experience.
So with expanding the speakers, we'll just have a little bit more room to delve into a few subject areas. So the overall theme for the summit this year is biodiversity. So that you might have started noticing that everywhere. That seems to be the theme across Canada and a lot of other countries as well. And so we'll delve into that in a couple of areas, both within the speakers and also within the workshops themselves.
Awesome. And how are we kind of building on this momentum from last year?
Well, I mean, that event last year came together quite quickly and it had great attendance. And so I think we'll expand a little bit more into other parts of Kingston, but also the region as well.
And the theme is Shaping Our Future Together. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to what that means for Kingston right now and why it's so important for community members to get involved in this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's particularly important because, as I mentioned, the theme that's emerging is biodiversity. And biodiversity is not only really important because that's what we're finding is, you know, it can reduce species loss. It can also be a sink for emissions. But it's also, it's visible. It's fun, right? It's something you can do on your own property or your business. It's something you can see. And so I think that's quite exciting because a lot of climate action can be, quite frankly, a little bit sad. You know, it's always the things are getting worse. Well, biodiversity is actually really hopeful. All the other work is also super important, but biodiversity is something that people can actively do and every little bit counts. And so it's quite an exciting area to be expanding into.
again, you mentioned there, we're talking about biodiversity this year. What are some of the biggest climate priorities and challenges facing Kingston that we may see addressed in the programming this year?
Yeah, so Kingston has actually started on its biodiversity action plan. And so that is a process that will take a number of months, but obviously highly relevant here. It also just finalized its adaptation and resilience plan. So that came out a month ago. And so that's available online for anybody to take a look. And so it'll be continuing those same themes, you know, how can we become more resilient as a community, which, again, everybody plays a part in that, both larger organizations, the government, as well as individuals.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could speak to a bit what the audience for this looked like last year and who you're hoping comes out this year.
Yes. Yeah, so last year, it was a good mix of community members and people working in the field. So, you know, people in small nonprofits or Queen's University, the city itself. This year, we're hoping to see all those same people, plus a few more, really. I think it would be great to see people from lots of different fields, just because this is relevant for all of us. So it's partly just people working in the field, but also for other community members and other organizations to kind of see themselves in climate work, because we all can do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you had any goals this year. What will success look like for this year's summit?
I think success will look like expanded partnership. So that's the other aspect that we're delving into. So there's the Kingston Climate Partnership, which is new. It was announced at the last summit, and we'll be talking a little bit about what we've accomplished over the year, what we're working on. And if that grows and connections are made, you know, someone from one organization meets someone from a different organization, they realize they have something they can work on, I mean, that would be amazing.
Awesome. And no spoilers, but I was wondering if you could give us maybe some of the stuff that you've been working on since last year's summit.
So the partnership has come together. We've signed on quite a number of organizations and we've formed working groups. So there are four working groups within the partnership. There's buildings and energy, biodiversity, food, and integrated mobility. And we've started meeting as groups with the idea that really we will find projects to work on. So this is partly knowledge sharing, but also just an opportunity to seriously advance climate action in the community.
Once again, that was a flashback to a conversation with Julia Stroud, Executive Director of Sustainable Kingston, on the Kingston Climate Summit taking place next week on June 3rd and 4th. The full event schedule and registration are now available on the Kingston Climate Summit website. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to your weather and traffic report for the rest of this week. Starting with the latest traffic updates, Ontario Street from Brock to Clarence will be closed starting tonight at 7 p.m. until 4 a.m. tomorrow for completion of the Pride crosswalk and surrounding pavement markings. Kirkpatrick Street from Kingscourt Avenue to Brant will be closed for the Kilometers for Kids Run Walk Roll for Kidsclusive this Saturday, May 30th from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Colburn Street from Berry Street to Main is closed for site servicing by a contractor until May 29th at 5 p.m. Also until May 29th at 5 p.m., Smith Street from Princess to South Bartlett will be closed for a contractor to disconnect services. On Johnson Street from University Avenue to Aberdeen, expect delays for a contractor to complete storm sewer improvements until July 30th. On Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street West from Country Club Drive to Front Road, traffic is reduced to one lane in each direction for work by Utilities Kingston. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. At the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, there will be delays due to construction until April 13th. Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue is closed from 8:40 to 9:20 a.m., and 3:20 to 3:50 p.m. every weekday as part of the School Streets program, restricting access during school drop-off and pickup times. Keep in mind these closures do not impact the weekend. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Princess Street remains closed from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project. And finally, long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen between Johnson and William and Barry at Queen. Now taking a look at the weather forecast for the next few days. Tonight, we're expecting clear skies and a low of 11 degrees. Friday brings a mix of sun and cloud for most of the day, but keep an umbrella nearby because a few showers are expected to move in during the afternoon.
Winds pick up significantly, becoming west at 30 kilometers an hour with gusts up to 60 by the morning. The daytime high reaches 22 degrees and the UV index climbs to 8. Friday night stays windy with cloudy periods and a 40% chance of showers, with temperatures dropping to 10 degrees. Saturday looks like the nicest day of the weekend, full sunshine and a comfortable high of 19 degrees. Clear skies continue into the evening with an overnight low of 9. Then on Sunday, we're back to a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 20 degrees. Sunday night stays partly cloudy with another 40% chance of showers and a low of 9. That wraps up your quick weather and traffic report for the next few days. Now let's get back to more local news. As Kingston continues to prepare for hotter summers and more frequent extreme heat events, the city is now officially launching a new pilot program aimed at helping vulnerable residents stay safe indoors. In a release issued yesterday, the City of Kingston announced the launch of its new Residential Air Conditioner Assistance Program, a pilot initiative that will provide a limited number of free air conditioning units to eligible adults across the city. The program comes as municipalities across Ontario continue adapting to the growing impacts of climate change, including longer and more intense periods of extreme heat. Health officials have repeatedly warned that high indoor temperatures can pose serious health risks, particularly for seniors and people with pre-existing medical conditions. Kingston City Council first began discussing the possibility of a residential cooling assistance program earlier this spring. At its March 10th meeting, Council directed staff to research possible options for an air conditioner pilot program and return with recommendations. Then on April 21st, City staff presented a report outlining how similar programs operate in other Ontario municipalities and proposed options for Kingston. Council ultimately approved $17,000 from the city's Environmental Reserve Fund to move ahead with the pilot project, with a full report expected back in 2027. The city says the pilot program is part of broader work currently underway to strengthen Kingston's community heat response plan. That discussion is expected to continue at City Hall next month, with Council set to review the city's official extreme heat response plan in early June, as the municipality prepares for another potentially hot summer. Under the new pilot program, the city will purchase air conditioning units directly using the approved funding. To help deliver the program, Kingston has partnered with United Way, which will coordinate volunteers to help distribute and, when needed, install the units for recipients. The city says installation support is intended to reduce barriers for older residents who may not be physically able to transport or set up an air conditioner on their own. City staff will also follow up with participants later this year to evaluate the program's impact and gather information ahead of a planned report back to council. To qualify for the program, applicants must be 65 years of age or older, live within the city of Kingston, and meet the program's low-income eligibility requirements. Applicants must also live in a multi-residential building and self-declare that they were advised by a medical professional to obtain an air conditioner to help manage an existing medical condition. The city notes that no medical documentation is required as part of the application process. Applications are now open and must be submitted by June 10th at 4 p.m. Residents can apply through My Kingston or by completing a paper application at several city facilities, including Housing and Social Services, the Invista Center, the Kingston East Community Center, the Rideau Heights Community Center, and Artillery Park. Because only a limited number of units are available, eligible applicants will be entered into a randomized draw, with recipients expected to be contacted during the week of June 15th. As more people head outdoors to enjoy warmer weather, local public health officials are reminding residents to protect themselves against tick-borne illnesses. In a release issued this week, Southeast Public Health says the region is considered an established high-risk area for black-legged ticks. Ticks can carry bacteria linked to Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, and other illnesses that can be transmitted through tick bites. Public Health says preventing tick bites, checking for ticks after spending time outdoors, and removing attached ticks quickly are all important steps in reducing the risk of infection. Kim McCann, Manager of Environmental Health with Southeast Public Health, said, quote, "The risk of encountering ticks when enjoying outdoor activities is very high in our region," end quote. McCann added that simple precautions, including using insect repellent and checking yourself, children, and pets for ticks after being outside, can help keep families safe and healthy. Southeast Public Health is recommending residents use Health Canada-approved insect repellents, wear long sleeves and pants when possible, and consider permethrin-treated clothing for additional protection. Officials also recommend showering within 2 hours of coming indoors, drying outdoor clothing on high heat for at least 10 minutes, and being aware that pets can also bring ticks into the home. Public Health says the risk of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses begins about 24 hours after an infected tick attaches and increases significantly after 48 hours. Early symptoms of Lyme disease can include fatigue, fever, headaches, muscle pain, stiff neck, and rashes, which may not always appear as the classic bullseye shape many people associate with Lyme disease. More serious complications can include arthritis, meningitis, facial paralysis, and heart issues. Residents experiencing symptoms after spending time outdoors are being encouraged to visit a healthcare provider or pharmacist for assessment and possible treatment. Southeast Public Health also notes that people can contract Lyme disease more than once, as infection does not provide natural immunity. More information on tick safety, symptoms, and prevention is available through Southeast Public Health's website, while tick identification services are now being directed through etick.ca. Now that you're aware of how to stay safe, residents looking to spend more time outdoors this summer will soon have a chance to celebrate the lakes, trails, and natural spaces that define the Frontenac region. In a release issued today, South Frontenac Township announced that the Lakes and Trails Festival will return on Saturday, June 20th at McMullen Park in Verona. The free, family-friendly event will run from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. and is focused on encouraging residents and visitors to get outdoors, stay active, and connect with nature. According to the township, the festival will feature a mix of recreational activities, environmental programming, and outdoor education opportunities for all ages. Amanda Pantry, Recreation and Events Coordinator for South Frontenac, said, quote, "The Lakes and Trails Festival is a favorite event among many South Frontenac residents." Pantry added that the event promotes healthy and active lifestyles while also showcasing local organizations and businesses connected to outdoor recreation across the township. This year's programming includes guided kayak paddles, a guided bird walk, yoga and Pilates sessions, trail running, supervised swimming activities, and an organized dog walk. The festival will also feature live music from Pete Moss, children's activities, face painting, inflatables, nature-themed crafts, and a reptile show from Little Ray's Reptile Zoo. Organizers say additional programming is still being added ahead of the event. More information about the Lakes and Trails Festival is available through the South Frontenac Township website. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. Keeping on theme, there are plenty of chances to get outside and enjoy some spring weather this weekend. Starting with Friday, May 29th, we have the sensational Spring Forest Therapy Walk at Little Cataract Way Conservation Area at 10 a.m., followed by Stories in the Point at Sydenham Point at 10:30. On Saturday, May 30th, head to Lake Ontario Park for Turtle Awareness Day, beginning at 10 a.m., or stop by the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square starting at 8:30 to visit your favorite local vendors. Herbarium Day also runs Saturday from 1 until 4 at the Queen's University Biological Station. Then on Sunday, May 31st, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., while the Cataract Way Indigenous Market takes place at Confederation Park from 10 until 4. These are just some of the events coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to CFRC.ca for our full events and concerts listings. If you have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendars, reach out today via CFRC.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.